Chapter 15, The Last Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, 1942, the last one in Rajin, was an unforgettable experience. On this day of fasting and reconciliation, all Jews are very solemn and pray the whole day. It is the only day in our religion which is spent in fear of the Lord. The elder of the Jews employed all his capabilities and used his connections to enable us to pray on that day without disturbances. He succeeded. Without expressing it, everyone knew that this would be our last day of prayer, our last Yom Kippur, unless some miracle occurred. It was as if everyone wanted to reach God by imploring him, screaming, crying, praying to him, or breaking with him, each one of us in his own way. It was a last attempt. Perhaps he would help us after all, perhaps. Otherwise it would be too late, even for the last of us. Our prayer on that Yom Kippur was the most emotional one I have ever experienced. If there is one prayer at all which cannot and should not be ignored in heaven, it can only be this one. We prayed in a shtibl, near the store of the families Weidenbaum and Mandelbaum. About 40 to 50 men and women fasted, prayed, and cried there together. I cannot describe all the details. Perhaps the author of Job could. Despite the promise of the Gestapo not to disturb our prayers, they came, ridiculed us, and took us, some of us, to work, wearing the prayer shawl and all. All of us cried. We cried not only tears, but with our blood, and poured out our hearts and souls in front of God. Out of the eternal prayer, Melahim Melamovet, who is to live and who is to die, arose the desperate question, why? Why are we alone designated Lamovet? Skvila, Srefa, Hereg, Vehenek, from stoning, burning, killing, or strangling. Is this the judgment and the kind of death which was determined for us, your people, O Lord? Is this your decision as to your allegedly chosen people? Why? Why? Not only by the rivers of Babylon, but also here, here between the rivers Bug and Vistula, we sit and cry. O Lord, dear Lord, why did you forsake us? How can you watch what is happening to us? When silence fell, it was the calm and silence of death, which was continually interrupted by sighs and sobs, as if a knife was at our ribs. People did not talk to each other. They really had nothing to say. Helplessly and powerlessly, we were merged by common fate, each of us filled with the same thought. If our prayer is not heard this time, and we get no help, then woe to us, woe, woe. Levi Levi, mentioned before, led the prayer on that day. He was a true Shliach Tzibur, messenger of the community, on that Yom Kippur. His heart-rending words were cries of pain from his soul and expressed the suffering of a tortured and desperate community. In awe, those praying made use of the opportunity, lamenting and accusing, begging and pouring out our suffering. As our people did for the past thousands of years, the wish and prayer of the hour was that only the heavenly court and no earthly judge or tribune should determine our fate. All of us were unified as never before in a prayer for divine help against the cruelty on earth. All of us had the same wish to save our very existence. Was that asking too much? Dripping sweat and shaking, we concentrated on the one vital question. Will our prayers be heard this time? Never before was our prayer Al-Hait Val Hatoyim Shehatanu intoned with such devotion. In the prayer for my and our sins, which is literal translation, against God and man, one shows a commitment to these words according to Jewish custom by beating one's chest with each sentence. At the end of this section of prayer, God and man are asked for forgiveness and reconciliation. In our affliction, we hope that God, whose love and mercy we praised, would forgive us once again, protect us from further pain, and let us live. Oh, how deeply did we feel our suffering on that last Yom Kippur. This was the pain which brought and held our people together, forged and unified them. Each one of us was linked to his own personal tragedy, unified in the same inferno. When the prayer leader started to chant the prayer for the dead, El Moleh HaChamim, God the Merciful, and remembered all the murdered, burned and strangled men, women, children, fathers, mothers, sisters and brothers, the congregation choked on its tears. So few had to mourn for so many. The ones assembled here would soon belong to those who were cried over, with none left to say Kaddish for them. Ever since then, the scenes and thoughts of that time come to my mind when I say these prayers. They remain in my memory. It is as difficult for me to describe all that as it is for a mute to speak. It is so hard to believe, understand, and tolerate that which happened and our experience of it. That is how the last Yom Kippur passed. Our prayers remained like a voice crying in the wilderness. Like always before, we closed with a prayer, Lashana Haba B'Ushalayim. Nothing changed. It did not take but a year, and it was not Jerusalem. It was Treblinka. I am the only one of that congregation in prayer who happened to survive. We felt that, at least in this town and in this country, there was no more compassion, no pardon, no forgiveness, and that we could not escape from earthly injustice. In trying to lean on God's love and to appeal for His justice, we felt rejected. The resettlements and deportations to Treblinka, Majdanek, and Auschwitz continued. Those who still remained let themselves be lulled into a false sense of security by the Germans and the Judenrat. They trusted in the usefulness of their work and the usual accompanying right to live. Because we had to change apartments constantly, and because Rajin was not a closed ghetto, we did not build any real bunkers or hiding places. In other towns and ghettos, well-designed bunkers were built, enabling some Jews to survive one or two deportations. In Rajin, however, we were always taken by surprise and delivered to the murderers in a short time. Our daily life resembled a capsized ship which floats aimlessly at sea without captain and destination. Abandoned by God and men, our distress signals were heard by no one as we drifted in these stormy days, encircled by bloodthirsty sharks. Across an already grey sky, new black storm clouds gathered. One storm was over, but a hurricane was fast approaching.